working through a series of studies on the prophecy of Daniel. And this morning we come to the 10th chapter of the book of Daniel. And we turn really from prophecy to a little study on prayer out of this chapter. And I suppose some will feel a bit let down by turning from prophecy to prayer, because prophecy is very exciting. There are a lot of people furiously reading Gene Dixon and Edgar Casey and other modern prophets to see if California is really going to slide off into the ocean this month. And I know some of you are hoping it happens before the 15th when you have to pay your income tax. But in many people's minds, prayer is rather dull and prosaic, unless, of course, California does begin to slide. Then we'll get very interested in prayer meetings. But in this 10th chapter of Daniel, Daniel calls a prayer meeting. And he calls it for the same reason that we call prayer meetings, because he's in trouble. This is what he says. Verse 2 of chapter 10. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks. I ate no delicacies, no meat or wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks. That almost sounds like Lent, doesn't it? He'd given up all delicacies, all special desserts, low calorie as well as any other kind. He had not taken any meat for 3 weeks, or had drunk any wine, and he'd even not taken a bath for 3 weeks. That's what's suggested by those words. He didn't anoint himself for full 3 weeks. Now, what did he do this for? Well, it was because he was troubled. You see, we give up things because we want to win some favor with God, we think. Usually, we celebrate Lent, we give up something for Lent because we think it gives us some kind of additional stature in God's sight. And usually, we give up things we're already not doing anyhow, such as wearing overshoes in bed or eating ketchup on ice cream. Many years ago, I gave up giving up things for Lent, and so I've had no trouble with it since. But the prophet Daniel gave up these things because he was deeply troubled and he wanted to show to others the depth of his concern. And so he stopped eating the normal foods that he would eat, and he gave up all these delicacies and other things in order that he might give himself to prayer and to fasting, partial fasting at least, through this 3 weeks period, because he was greatly troubled. Now, what was he troubled about? Well, he tells us in the opening verses of the chapter, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a word was revealed to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, and the word was true, and it was a great conflict. And he understood the word, and he had understanding of the vision. Now, you who have been following through Daniel with us know that this date and the first verse is very significant, because this says that this word or vision that came to Daniel came in the third year of Cyrus, the king of Persia. And that meant it came right at the time when the prophet Jeremiah had predicted that the 70 years in which the people of Israel would be held captive in Babylon was almost through. In fact, it was up. The 70 years had been concluded by this time. And yet nothing was happening. The people of Israel were showing no signs of leaving Babylon. They had turned, these people, when they were in Israel, in Palestine, were agricultural people. They kept herds and flocks and sheep. But when they were captured and taken to Babylon, they no longer could do that. And so they turned from a nation of sheep keepers to a nation of shopkeepers. They had started Macy's and Gimbel's and the Emporium in Babylon. And they were making so much money, they didn't have any intention of going back to Palestine, a lot of them. And yet, Daniel knew that it was God's program that his people should return, and that they could never find any of blessing or fulfillment or any of the great promises that God had made this nation would never be fulfilled unless they returned to Israel. And so Daniel was greatly concerned about this, and he gathered some of his friends together, as we'll see later on in this chapter, and he called this prayer meeting in order to lay hold of God to stir up these people to go back to the land of Israel, back to Palestine. And so they came together with long faces, greatly concerned to pray together. But as they were praying, an amazing thing happened. Let me read it to you. Verses 4 through 6. On the 24th day of the first month, says Daniel, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with gold of Euphaz. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words was like the noise of a multitude. What do you think would happen at our prayer meeting if something like that happened? It'd really turn on the place, wouldn't it? And it must have happened like that to Daniel here and his friends, because they were praying together in this rather dull prayer meeting, but suddenly there stood in their midst this amazing figure, described as Daniel has described it here. Now, who is this? Well, it immediately makes one think of the experience that John the Apostle had when he was a prisoner in the Isle of Patmos, as he tells us in the opening words of the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. Let me read those to you. You can see how similar these are. John says, then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden girdle around his breast. His head and his hair were white as white wool, white as snow. In his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined as in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and from his mouth there issued a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in full strength. Sounds very similar, doesn't it? In fact, it probably was. Because all that had happened here in this prayer meeting, both to John on the island of Patmos many centuries later, and to Daniel in the city alongside the Tigris River, what had happened was the curtain had dropped behind the invisible spiritual kingdom. Or in front of the invisible spiritual kingdom, and he was able to see the very one to whom he had been speaking in prayer. Now, that person was there all the time. It wasn't that he just suddenly appeared. He was there. But Daniel and his friends couldn't see him until suddenly the curtain dropped, and their eyes were opened, and they saw the invisible world of spiritual beings around them. And especially this great figure, whose eyes were like flaming torches, and whose face shone like the sun in its strength. And they suddenly realized they were confronted face to face with the person of God. Actually, if we identify these two people that John saw and that Daniel saw, they saw the Lord Jesus Christ as he was revealed to them in this marvelous way, depicting the glory and the majesty of his being. You remember there's a story in the book of Kings about Elisha the prophet that's somewhat similar. Recall the time when Elisha and his servant were in the city of Dothan in the land of Palestine, and the Syrians sent down a great army because the king of Syria was angry at Elisha the prophet, and the army came in at night when Elisha and his servant were asleep, and they surrounded the entire city, little city of Dothan. And in the morning, when the servant of Elisha woke up, he looked out and he saw the armies of the Syrians all around the city. And he came running into his master and he said, Elisha, Elisha, look out there, he said. And Elisha looked out and saw all the army of Syria around the city. And the servant said, what do we do? What do we do? And Elisha said, don't worry. He said, those who are with us are far more than those who are with them. And the servant said, what do you mean? Why, there's nobody here with us. We're all alone in the city. What do you mean? And Elisha prayed. And he said, Lord, open this young man's eyes. And suddenly, the eyes of the young man were opened, and he saw ringing around the city a whole host of chariots of fire and horses from the Lord. And he realized that Elisha knew what he was talking about. Greater are those that are with us than those that are with them. And you see, really, this is what the New Testament is saying to us when it says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There are greater forces on behalf of those who are servants and of God and those who know God than those who are against us. And what had happened to Daniel was just simply the curtain had dropped for the time being, and he saw this one to whom prayer was being addressed. Now you have something very similar to the experience of the Apostle Paul in the next two verses. Daniel says, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great trembling fell upon them, and they fled to hide themselves. So I was left alone and saw this great vision, and no strength was left in me. My radiant appearance was fearfully changed, and I retained no strength. That does sound like Paul, doesn't it? Remember Saul of Tarsus, who before he was the Apostle Paul, was a violent persecutor of the church and on his way to the city of Damascus to bring the Christians out of that city to Jerusalem to try them for their faith in Jesus. And suddenly there was a light brighter than the sun shining around him. And he alone saw it, saw the person of Jesus. And he fell to the ground like Daniel did. And the men that were with him did not see the person of Jesus. All they heard was his voice speaking to the Apostle Paul. It was a very similar experience to what Daniel had here. And when it occurred to Paul, he reacted in the same way. He was overwhelmed, as Daniel was here, and he fell to the ground, and he had no strength left in him. Now, I know there are some people that try to explain that by saying that what Paul experienced was an epileptic fit on the road to Damascus. But you remember when that was reported to the great English preacher Charles Spurgeon, what he said. He said, oh, blessed epilepsy. Would that every man in London could have an epileptic fit like that. If that's what epilepsy does to you, then it'd be wonderful if we all had it. And that's what happened here with Daniel. He was overwhelmed by what he saw and the greatness of the one whom he saw. He couldn't believe it, that suddenly he was in touch with this mighty one who was behind all the power of prayer. And then verse 9 adds another note. Then I heard the sound of his words. And when I heard the sound of his words, I fell on my face in a deep sleep with my face to the ground. That sounds like a church service, doesn't it? When I heard the sound of his words, I went to sleep. But it's not a church service. It's a prelude to Revelation. Because the prophet Daniel here is now being prepared to learn something from this majestic being that he's seen. He has already seen something of the majesty of Jesus Christ. And now he's going to be taught something of the mystery of prayer. And you have that in the next few verses. Let me read these for you. Verses 10 through 14. And behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, give heed to the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood up trembling. And then he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your mind to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard. And I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. So I left him there with the prince of the kingdom of Persia, and I came to make you understand what is to befall your people in the latter days. For the vision is for days yet to come. What a tremendous thing this was here. Here was an angel sent to help Daniel. Now, I don't believe it's the same person that he saw, the man clothed in linen with his eyes like flaming torches and his feet like burnished bronze and so on. I believe there's indication here that this is a different being. This is an angel sent from this great person to help Daniel. And he does. He helps him to stand upon his feet. Daniel stood up trembling and shaking. And then the angel began to reveal to him certain things about prayer. Now, you see, all this is given to us in order that we might understand what's really taking place behind the scenes when we pray. Because this same being is there. And the angels are there. The New Testament tells us that the angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who shall be the heirs of salvation. They're at God's beck and call to run his errands and to do his work and to carry out the procedures on earth. Mr. Pollard told us about the young soldier whose life was saved by the bullet being stopped by a New Testament in his pocket. And the bullet stopped right at the 91st Psalm. Now, what made that happen? Well, it wasn't an accident. It was an angel. The ministry of angels is all around us. We're not aware of what's happening to us. And what we think is just ordinary circumstances, oftentimes, is a result of the ministry of angels. And Daniel now has his eyes open, so he's helped to see what lies behind prayer when we pray. And this angel comes to help him and to show him two great things about prayer. Now, the first thing is, he says, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your mind to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard. In other words, the answer was sent immediately. And the first thing that Daniel's taught about prayer is that answers are absolutely sure when we pray. The angel said, Daniel, the very moment you people began to pray, God heard you. Now, that was 3 weeks ago. But the minute you began to pray, God sent the answer right away. And it was on its way the minute you began to ask. Because, of course, Daniel was asking on the basis of the will of God. You see, prayer is not a way by which we get God to do what we want. Prayer is a way by which we get involved in what God wants. Prayer is a way by which we become all caught up in the exciting activity of God doing what he plans to do in this world. And as we pray about it, we become involved in the whole exciting program. And we find God working through us to ask on the basis of what he wants. Isn't that what Jesus taught us in that passage that was read to us this morning? He said, you don't need to lay hold of God and sort of set up a picket line around him and force him to give in to you. You don't need to demonstrate before God. You don't need to harass him and harangue him and twist his arm and just besiege him with a flood of words until he gives in. No, he said, that's the way the heathen do. That's the way the pagans pray. But he says, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Therefore, your prayer is not a means of telling God what he ought to do. We need to understand that. Prayer, rather, is a way by which we get involved in what God wants to do. And he wants us involved. He wants us to ask him to do what he says he'll do. And he oftentimes won't do it at all unless we ask him. That's why James says, ye have not because you ask not. And if you'd ask, God would do what he promises to do. But now, Daniel is told that the answers are absolutely sure when you pray on that basis. Jesus said this too. You remember in another passage, he said, ask, seek, and knock. Those are three forms of prayer. Ask, just simply ask him. Seek, that involves a little investigation, a little study, a little trying to understand what God is doing. And knock, that involves repetition, coming back again and again. And there are three kinds of circumstances that require different types of prayer. So, we're to ask for some things, like the things we need to strengthen our own lives, like wisdom and love and power and grace and all these things. James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. But you see, ask, seek, and knock all have the same guarantee. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it will be opened unto you. For everyone that asks, Jesus says, shall be given. To everyone that asks shall be given. And everyone who seeks shall find. And to everyone who knocks, it shall be opened. The answers are always absolutely sure when you pray on the basis of what God has said he'd do. That's made clear so many times. And this is what the angel says to Daniel. Daniel, the minute you began to pray, the answer was given. But now he also goes on to show that delays are possible. Although the answer from God was sent immediately, it didn't arrive for 3 weeks. Why not? What held it back? Well, the angel says, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. Now, what's he talking about here? Well, he's revealing that there's not only the great and good angels of God ready to help us, but there are also evil angels, fallen angels, demons, that are ready to oppose what God is doing. And in a most remarkable way, they relate somehow to the nations of earth. I think this is one of the most amazing passages in all the Bible, because it helps us to understand what's going on that's reported in our daily newspapers. Why are we going through such a worldwide outbreak of riot and violence and demonstration and unrest all over the world? Well, not just simply because the students weren't taught certain things in school, or that they are a little different kind of people than the ones in previous generations. All these ideas and explanations that are being offered today are superficial. They don't really get at the heart of the thing. The explanation is right here, that men are really not the final answer. They're not the final explanation of what goes on. Behind men are these invisible, hidden powers that are at work, that are controlling the minds and the thoughts of men. And that's why things happen in this world the way they do. Remember how Paul warns us in Ephesians 6. He says, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. That is, people are not our problem. We think they are. We've always got some person that we can blame, haven't we? The students blame the faculty blame the students. The administration blames both. The government blames the people blame the government. Capitalists blame labor, labor blame capital. Parents blame their children, and children blame their parents. And everybody blames everyone else, and nobody ever says, it's me. I'm the one that's wrong. See, that's the problem, isn't it, in the world. And Paul says, you see, you're quite wrong if you say it's people that are the trouble. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers and wicked spirits in high places, the rulers of the darkness of this world. And that's what he's talking about here. You see, he says that behind the affairs of earth is this invisible hierarchy of evil. And they're assigned various countries under their control. And the angel, the evil angel that had authority over the kingdom of Persia, came and withstood this angel that had been sent to Daniel and held him back for 21 days. I don't know how that works. But the angel said, Michael, the chief prince, the head of the joint chiefs of staffs of heaven, came to help him. And with his power, they broke through, and the answer came to Daniel. And he knew nothing of what was going on down here at all. Now, you see, undoubtedly, there's an evil angel assigned to the United States to stir up all kinds of trouble. And I bet he's been promoted lately. And there's one assigned to Soviet Russia, and to Communist Red China, and to all the countries of the world. Somehow these relate to the countries and the nations of earth. That's the revelation that Daniel was shown. And there are also those angels that are the ministers of good and justice and truth, and they're in conflict one with another. And so delays can come to our prayer. And the next time you find a prayer not answered as quickly as you think it ought to be, remember that you're engaged in a conflict. And there can come delays, but no delay can ever throw God's schedule off base. God never is too late. Never. He always can muster all the force it takes to break through, as long as faith remains expressed in the human heart. And that's why prayer is so vitally important. And why the New Testament tells us to pray for those in authority and in power in order that we might lead peaceable and godly lives. And if you people really believe in prayer and believe that this is true, what the Bible tells us about the other side of prayer, then I think you'll express it by praying a great deal more. Well, look at the third lesson that Daniel was taught by this angel, verses 15 through 17. When he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face toward the ground and was dumb. And behold, one in the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, and I said to him who stood before me, O my Lord, by reason of the vision, pains have come upon me, and I retain no strength. How can my Lord's servant talk with my Lord? For now no strength remains in me, and no breath is left in me. This had a terrible physical effect upon Daniel. The prayer, the mourning, the fasting, the waiting for 3 weeks, all this had taken its toll upon him. And now this tremendous vision, so emotionally gripping and overpowering, it just simply drained away his physical strength. To remind us that prayer can oftentimes be a very costly thing. It's hard work at times. It's spiritually costly. It's not always easy. Sometimes it's agony to pray. There's a verse in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, that's always encouraged me. He writes to these Corinthians, and he says, death is at work in us, but life in you. And there's a There's another commentary on what prayer is like. You see, it's possible for you to go through agony on my behalf. And I don't feel the agony. You do. But I get the blessing out of it. And you can do that, you parents can do that for your children. When you see them getting into trouble, and there's no way that you can seemingly stop them, they're blind or deaf to your what you say, and you see something they don't see, well, you can enter into that in prayer. You can agonize on their behalf. Death can be at work in you, and God will work life in them. Isn't that encouraging? And you parents, you children can do the same thing for your parents. When they get stubborn and hard-hearted and not understanding and they're fouling up the whole bit as they can at times. And you can't say anything to them. You can pray for them. And death can be at work in you and life in them. That's what the Word says. What a tremendous thing this is. As we enter into this spiritual combat, this really vital fight of faith, in order to accomplish what would never be done otherwise. But prayer is not all weakness and mystery. There's a ministry to us in it as well, and the last scene of this chapter sets it before us. Again, one of having the appearance of a man touched me, and he strengthened me. And he said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be with you. Be strong and of good courage. And when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Now, you see, the first thing that happened to Daniel as a result of this was that he was strengthened. And we're told exactly how. The angel said to him, Fear not. That is, all reason for fear on your part will be removed. And then he said three things. Peace be with you, be strong, and of a good courage. And that's what prayer does to us every time that we come to the Lord in prayer. It brings peace to the soul, strength to the body, and courage to the spirit. That's what we need, isn't it? So the whole man is ministered to. You remember how Paul says that in Philippians. He says, be anxious about nothing. Don't be afraid. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what? The peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. Peace. That wonderful sense that everything's all right, even though nothing's changed out here. But you have peace in your heart, as Daniel had. And that means strength to the body. Because when the heart's at peace, the body is strengthened. And that always gives courage to the will and to the spirit. So you're ready to take up life again. And that's what prayer always does. And it's for a purpose, says the angel to Daniel. He said to him, Do you know why I've come to you? That's just a little encouragement to Daniel to think a little bit now. Why have I come to you, he said. Well, he says, I will now return to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I'm through with him, lo, the prince of Greece will come. In other words, I've got a lot more fighting to do, Daniel. And I've come to you to strengthen you, that you might be in that with me. I'm going back and fight with the prince of Persia a little more, this invisible angel behind the scenes in Persian affairs. And when I'm through with him, the prince of Greece will come, but I've strengthened you, Daniel, that you might stand with me in all of this. And then the second thing that prayer did for him, and this is wonderful. Verse 21, he says, But I will tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth. And that's the introduction to chapters 11 and 12 of this book, where you have the greatest vision that Daniel was ever given, which is a marvelous unfolding of all the events that are to come in history from Daniel's day, clear on down through almost to the time of the first appearance of the Lord Jesus. And then there's a great leap over to the time of the end when in a very vivid passage, Daniel is told what's going to happen at the end of this age. When Jesus Christ, just before he returns again, and he outlines to them the events of the final day. Now, we haven't even come to those days yet. But Daniel's eyes were opened, and he was helped to see what is written in the book of truth. And God opened his eyes to understand what is there. Now, what a wonderful promise that is. See, all of this is still available and true for anybody here. Jesus, remember, said, when the Holy Spirit is come, that is, when Jesus comes into your, the Lord Jesus comes to live in your heart, when the Holy Spirit is come, he will guide you into all the truth. He will take of the things of the Scripture and open them unto you. And that's the only way to know what's going to happen in the future, is to take the book that God has given to us, the book that understands you, the book that knows how you think and you act, and what's going on in your thoughts, in your mind, in your heart, and how to control and govern the passions that spring up within, and what God has already done about it, and how to lay hold of the mighty power that God's made available to you, so that you can understand what you're facing and know where to get the strength to handle it and cope with it and live honestly and openly and powerfully and sweetly and joyfully in the midst of a decaying age. That's all made available, you see, as we understand the program of God and the power of prayer. Now let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this look behind the scenes. We know that even this morning as we're talking, this marvelous one, this majestic being, the Lord Jesus, in the greatness of his power and strength, is here with us. And with us also are angels, both good and bad. And we, Lord, are involved in a conflict that's going on, that's raging through this earth, and affecting the nations of the earth and turning them upside down. And grant, Father, that we may seriously understand this and be at work on the side of your program and not on the side of evil. Lord, keep us from being instruments of the devil's working, but rather of the working of you in the midst of human life today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.